In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Bulavinaka, hello, Keta, Malo, Lele, Talofa, Lava, Kia ora, na, hello, and welcome everyone to Niche and Footy Friday. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is my Cook Island Kiwi, Chinidar Arona. And we're going to talk all things rugby league and rugby union.
Up the Blues.
Up the Blues, all right. And all of our Pacifica footy news. And here we go. He's gone straight there, T. How are you feeling after that victory? That sweet blue victory.
I am feeling really, really good this week. It was good to wake up yesterday morning, Thursday, the night after State of Origin. Game 3, where the Blues got the series, got the job done, and we'll dive deep into a bit more detail.
How do you think our friends from Niche Daily are feeling?
Jacob and Michael. Yes, so for everyone who's new listening to Niche and Footy, we had a wager on this series, and the loser had to buy the winner a feed, like an island feed.
Like not just a little sandwich, but we wanted a big feed.
A big feed. And Jacob, obviously living in Queensland, being a Queenslander, he wasn't happy when the result was the Blues' way. So some really humble messages throughout the evening on Wednesday night. But it's good to see, State of Origin being a successful series this year in 2026.
All right, T, what's coming up on the show today? Because I believe we are a little bit light on.
We're running two outs today.
Just two outs. We're down a few good
usually
people.
Usually there's four of us for Niche and Footy Fridays, but it's all good. We learn how to adapt and we execute. So no Sala Tonga Tuki joining us today and no big Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani. Where is he at this time?
It's hard to keep track on his socials. One week he's in Kiribati, the next week he's in Fiji. Another week he's on an island just
by himself.
Do you
reckon he'll be in England or wherever? Who's Fiji playing this weekend?
Yeah, they're Fiji have England in England.
In Liverpool, yeah.
Liverpool, right. So maybe Nems is there. I don't know, I can't keep track, but when he comes on, we're grateful that he's even here.
Beautiful. So today's show, we will cover State of Origin. Again, still such a high,
still
man.
Still buzzing.
It is so good.
With a smile on your face. How good is that?
What a week. I don't think we'll get over it till next series. But New South Wales, we'll cover that. We've got round 19 in the NRL, round 2 in the NRLW. We've got the Nations Cup in Rugby Union.
And the Nations Championships in Rugby Union.
And we've got our Lock and Smoke, which will wrap up our show, our tipping comp. For Niche and Footy Fridays.
All right, let's get into it.
Hey, it's Payne Hussey from the Brisbane Broncos. You are listening to Niche and Footy.
All right, T, let's kick off with rugby league. And
Payne Huss right there. Let's not just gloss over that. That was the man himself on Niche and Footy. And if you want to hear that interview with Payne Huss, just search Niche and Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
So, speaking of the big man, how do you think he played? Because for me, from the outside watching in, he looked like he was on that Wednesday night.
Yeah, he carried that middle, man. And what I loved about his game, he was going forward, creating space, getting the leg speed. But then once he won that initial contact, he was looking for offloads. And we mentioned last Monday, New South Wales Blues couldn't go into this game with the same game plan for game 1 and 2. And I felt like Payne Huss, there was just that intent. They also had him a little bit wider running straight at Sam Walker, and then he had a couple cracks at Cam Munster as well. Really set the tone in the middle for the New South Wales Blues forwards.
When you think about like his performance and pretty much all of the players' performances after coming off a pretty poor game 2, like it's quite a remarkable turnaround, 18, when you think how much New South Wales were written off. The knives were out for Laurie Daly and his coaching tactics, but they were able to turn things around. What do you reckon they got right in their preparation to be able to shut all that noise out and then come out and put a performance like that on?
Well, there was a couple comments after the game from Nathan Cleary and also the coach, Laurie Daly, and they both gave credit to their captain, Isaiah Yeo, and the way that he spoke to the players, the way that he was, he led them with that throughout the week, setting the mindset of just let's go and represent our state. So he must have, Isaiah Yeo must have had a big impact throughout the preparation of game three.
Yeah, I think him, probably the other leaders as well, looked like Cleary and Moses were more cohesive as well. Like, you know, the long kicking game of Mitch Moses was unbelievable. And then when they got into that attacking half, getting on the front foot, Nathan really took control there. So like all their key men really stood up.
There must have been a moment as well after game two. There was, after the game, after that loss in Melbourne, New South Wales Blues locked themselves in the sheds and they had a chat, okay. And I reckon that was led by their captain, Yeo. So you could see they were very well prepared. The start of the game, they had to actually weather the Queensland attack. So when I mean weather the storm, it means, defensively being on point, not breaking in any areas in defense. So they had to get through a tough period right at the start. But you mentioned Mitch Moses' kicking game. I reckon that was a big underestimated thing for New South Wales Blues, because the way that he was kicking them out of trouble.
And they were so deep. It was like 60 on the fly.
So he'd kick from about the 30-meter line, and then Queensland would catch it on the 10, and then they would meet him about the 20, 30 meters. And then the more that they got through their sets, the further they got down the other end. And then that's when Queensland just made a couple minor errors where I thought, okay, the Blues are on here. And that started from when Queensland had two errors early in the game, which led to Nathan Cleary's first try. Yeo get a quick play of the ball, left a man on the ground, and then Cleary just right foot step, got Capewell off guard, and then scored the first try for the Blues.
4 metres out in front of the right upright, no score. Robson goes right to Cleary, beats 1-2. He's only half a metre out. Can he get there? He does. Nathan Cleary, brilliance close to the line. And Queensland pay the price. They can't thwart the Blues' kicking game. 14 and a half gone. First points in the decider go to the Blues.
I mean, speaking about some of those errors, in game two, Queensland only made 4 errors. This game, they made 14. So a big difference. And one of the other things you said last week, if New South Wales were to get this win, they really had to limit the impact of Harry Grant and slow the ruck speed down. They did that pretty well, didn't they?
Yeah, that ruck control. Yeah, they got their numbers in defence. They slowed the ruck down where, Queensland weren't on the front foot. And you look at some of those returns from Selwyn Cobbo, Rob Toya, they were getting those first three in contact, and then they'll get numbers in the tackle and then take them down to the ground. If they lose that first tackle from Selwyn Cobbo, Queensland are now on the front foot, and then Harry Grant starts to toy with the markers and create space out wide. So great work defensively. What I think they also done well was that slide defense that I mentioned. So when Queensland move the ball, they've got some centres that can play some attacking footy. Rob Toy on one side and the Hammer on the other side, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido. They get them early ball. It's hard to defend them one-on-one. And we've seen that with Hammer's try, where Stephen Crichton just got caught a little bit too tight. He excels to go get him, but then unfortunately Hamiso Tabuai-Fido just had that little bit more speed to get on the outside.
10 out. Plenty of answers so far, the Blues, to the questions asked by the Maroons. Last tackle, Grant, goes left to Munster. Then away to Ponga out the back line to Tabuai-Fido. Dummies his way through to score! Oh, ladies and gentlemen, all look lost for Queensland, but all of a sudden, it's Hammer time! Hammer, so Tabuai-Fido.
But other than that one play, they defended really well, sliding from the inside. If that centre did miss, there was backup coming from the inside man, and they were able to solve a lot of those problems, which took out Sam Walker's threats, Cam Munster's threats. So they've done a good job defensively right across the board.
I want to talk about Mark Noangitawase. Like, this guy's only been playing rugby league for 1.5 seasons, pretty much. He's already ticked off highest try scorer in the NRL. He did that last year. He ticked off an Ashes series. Now he's ticked off a New South Wales victory, Origin series. Like, I don't think in his wildest dreams he would have ever thought that he'd be there on Wednesday night lifting up a shield with New South Wales, you know, after coming from rugby union. That pass that he gave on the inside, that little one-hander, like,
to Nathan Cleary
to score his second try. Like, he is an absolute athlete.
That was quite special. You know, that him as an athlete, but also just the success that he's had in such a short career as well. I reckon he's got another half to go, at least. You know, throughout his career, he's got a World Cup coming up in rugby league. You reckon he'll play in this year's rugby league?
I think,
or he'll move over to rugby union early.
The League One season starts mid-December. Usually, in Japan, unless it's in his contract around, like, oh, I'll come after the rugby league.
Oh, you mean League One, his rugby
union? Oh, yeah, that's what the competition's called in Japan, League One. That will start mid-December, and they've got some trial games in November. In Japan, like, if that's not really clear in his contract to say that he can come after the Rugby League World Cup, there's no wiggle room for him to get out.
Okay.
So I don't know the ins and outs of his contract. I'd love to see him play a Rugby League World Cup.
And then go into a Rugby Union World Cup.
Like, it would just be an unbelievable, career if he gets to do that.
But you could see, I felt like after the game, and you see some of the boys' social media posts, that there was a bit of, there's a close connection. I don't want to say fanboying, but I did notice Stephen Crichton, you showed that love to Mark Noangitawase.
Was it the right side, that strong right side?
Well, that try that Mark passed back into Nathan Cleary, people forget, that was like, I wrote down, the Panthers assemble. So it goes Yowie out the back to Nathan Cleary, Nathan Cleary to Liam Martin.
Oh, that's right.
Liam Martin, right footstep, he offloads to Stephen Crichton, and then in comes Mark Noangitawase on the right side wing. He passes it to Mark, and then Mark passes it back to Nathan Cleary. So it was like he joined this legacy of Panthers.
Yeah, you can
players.
Be one of us.
You're now one of us. The Blues Army, the Blues Boys.
Even Stephen Crichton's flick boy, he didn't need to flick it like that out the back of his hand. He had plenty of time to give, but it looked the goods.
Looked like he
it
had
looked
that
special,
swag.
Yeah.
What I also want to mention was the Queensland spirit, like, it was there, and they were coming home strong, even to the point where I was like, oh no, if they score the next try, game on. Blues are on the back foot here. Queensland are just trying to find something. They put on Reece Walsh. Every touch that Reece Walsh had,
he was active.
He was breaking tackles, making half breaks, and they were coming home strong. They scored a try to get it close into 10 points, and then that crossfield kick, when Jack Bostock goes up just before Bradman Best scores that long length try. The question is, did Jack Bostock touch the ball?
From the initial replay, I thought he did, and it went forward. But to be honest, I was happy with either decision. I think it's just one of those ones.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I think there's always going to be a 50-50. I think a 50-50 of, you know, the Nathan Cleary strip. Like, did the Queenslander have a hand on him? Or, sorry, not the Queenslander, one of the New South Wales defenders. Did he have a hand on the player when Nathan Cleary made that strip?
Like, so when Nathan Cleary made that strip, we'll come back to Jack Bostock, but when Nathan Cleary made that strip, the player did have his hand on him.
Is that part of the tackle?
No,
or no?
If they scored that next play, it probably would have got taken off him. But
okay.
Because he got tackled, they can't go back two plays.
So, okay, gotcha. So, saying the
ref had to call it then and there, otherwise, yep. Or if it scored on that play, they would take it back. But because he got tackled before the try, then
gotcha.
It was play on.
Yeah. So, I just think some of those 50-50s, like the Bostock one, like, it's just part of the game.
When I look back at it, I thought it was a try. And then you look back at the replay, you're like, oh, he touched it.
Yeah.
And the ref's going to call it back. And, yeah, look, the ref, the bunker, gave it a no try touch.
Try confirmed. See you later.
Try confirmed. So, you know, even being a Blues man, I thought that he did touch it, but it is part of the game. You know, those 50-50 calls go to someone, and unfortunately for Queensland, the Blues got the upper hand on that one. So, great finish. I thought after that best try, I was just like, okay, we've got some room here. We're coming home. But they had to, that released a lot of the Queensland pressure.
Yeah, we'll talk about Queensland as well, like the way that they played defensively, 53 missed tackles in this game, and in game two they only missed 31. Like, was that, do you put that down to just the players individually just standing up and just like with more intent, or did they do something different, like what you said, say with Payne Haas, they just got a little bit wider so he could get at Munster, they can get out Walker.
Yeah, I think the Blues game plan caused a bit of fatigue, you know, that second phase play. Also, you know, the amount of errors. You know, you said they had 14 errors.
Yep.
That means they have to do more tackling. So fatigue obviously equals to mistakes in defense, and they don't have that intent. They did have some really good sets where they were kicking long. And the outside backs for the Blues, you have to give them credit because they had to take some tough carries. And you'd see Mark Nonganetawase, Jack Bostock, Stephen Crichton. They had to take carries out of their own end where there were 3-4 Queensland defenders and just, you know, getting right into them. So great yardage defense, but then eventually, yeah, I think fatigue just caught up on them. One thing I also want to mention was So the HIAs, so Tolokola, he came in for James Tedesco.
Sammy Walker had a HIA as well.
Sam Walker, which activated Reece Walsh.
Yep.
They even got to activate Blake Brayley. So the one that missed out, Pamole Olakuatu, due to head concussion. So, yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get to see him play, but I'm sure he would be happy that the Blues got the job done anyway.
And finally, I know you always talk about the impact of Brian To'o, you know, out of yardage. He does a lot of that heavy lifting to get New South Wales on the front foot. After watching Bostock and the wingers, do you think they missed him a little bit? I know like Bostock was there and they got the win, but there was a part of me early on where I thought, oh, I think they're missing Bizzo a little bit, like some of his carries.
Yeah, they would have missed the carries. But then again, the threat, the aerial threat, I thought Jack Bostock done a great job on his edge to cover that. But also he had a couple big moments where there was a one where they kicked across field. He could have easily got tackled in the end goal and then he made his way out, which took a lot of that pressure off the New South Wales Blues. Otherwise, Queensland are then attacking the New South Wales Blues early in the game and changes momentum. So I thought he done a job. Yes, they missed Biz's carries, but you have to give credit where credit's due, and Jack Bostock stood up.
Well, love it, bro.
The other one I want to mention, Nathan Cleary.
Oh, the GOAT.
He's the GOAT.
Yeah, cemented, 110%.
He was unbelievable. I thought the way that he controlled the game, you know, when the pressure was on, he demanded the ball. He got players in the right position. What people haven't spoken about, he equaled the most points scored in a game three decider. I think it was 18 points.
Jonathan Thurston.
Now,
and he broke the New South Wales Origin record as well, most points scored.
Well, me and my son watching it in our lounge room, he was like, kick a field goal at the end just to break the record.
Get 1 point.
And I was like, oh, they'll probably score anyway. Anyway, they score, Hudson Young scores that last try. They all go jumping on. And I'm like, here he goes, he's going to kick the goal. Then I see the New South Wales Blues bench run onto the field, like the game was finished, and they were all celebrating. And I'm like, I don't think he's going to take the kick.
Yeah, who took the kick again?
The ref asked Nathan Cleary, and he just goes, nah, don't worry about it.
Oh, didn't even bother taking it.
So he could have been the outright leading point scorer in a game three decider, but unselfishly, he said, nah, it's all good. We've already won the game. We're okay.
That's awesome. Yeah. I thought someone, because I missed that last bit of the game, I thought someone actually took the kick, but so they just
waved it. No, so the score should have been 32 points to 12. But because of the unselfish act of Nathan Cleary, he knew the players were all celebrating already. He didn't want to make the he didn't want to make that moment about him.
Himself.
He was like, he's content with the team being there. They already had the bench. They already had people from the sidelines coming on and doing media stuff. So he just went, no, we'll go shake their hands. Queensland already, you know, in defeat behind the post.
He was already up here in my books as the GOAT. I want Rugby Australia to pay $5 million to get him over, even if it's just for four games or even just for the World Cup year, something. Give him the money because he's going to be the saviour for Rugby Australia at some point. But after hearing that story, man, you're going to go up even further.
So 32 to 12 it could have been, but the New South Wales Blues won 30 points to 12.
There we go.
2026.
New South Wales series winners. And those two games before that, I think it was all part of the plan T to cause all the chaos, commotion, to finally be the underdogs, to finally let everyone know that New South Wales do get Origin.
And great work. Great work, Laurie Daly. Awesome work. That's the way to coach.
Love you, man. Never in doubt, my brother. But hey, we do still have some other games as well. We can't forget there's still NRL rounds happening this weekend.
Yep, just before we get to one of the big games this weekend, which I'll mention, but Jerome Luai, there's some news around.
Is that true?
Luai getting the approval to seek another club for next year from the Tigers. I think there might be more strategic plan from West Tigers to free up some money and they can start preparing long-term. So for those who aren't aware, Jerome Luai has signed to the PNG Chiefs for 2028, which means he'll still be with the Tigers in 2027. But the Tigers have said to Jerome, or reportedly said to Jerome, hey, if you have the option to go to another club, would grant that. Yeah, there'd be a portion of your contract paid out, but if there's an opportunity for another club to use Jerome Luai's services for 2027, then that option is open for him. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. I thought for sure he would have sought out his contract, but I understand from a business side of things, you know, if they can get someone else and obviously he takes up a bit of the cap, they might be able to get it. But then it brings me back to when Israel Folau went to AFL and he signed with the West Sydney Giants. So he actually got paid a year before they came into the competition. So he went out and promoted West Sydney Giants and pretty much had 12 months of getting his body right for AFL, but also promoting the Giants and still got paid full freight.
I know it's a little bit different. PNG ain't paying Jerome Luai 2027.
I wonder if there's any chat around where you go, okay, how about we bring your contract forward. Doesn't have to be the whole thing. If the Tigers paid a little bit of it and he was over in PNG just making sure, spreading the word, doing everything he could, and that will help him, you know, get used to going over to PNG, him and his family, preserve the body for 12 months, a little bit of a sabbatical.
Oh, that's one idea.
You know, I'm just thinking just that's what it came to me.
Just throwing ideas out there, yeah.
Yeah, just throwing it out there.
Also, Jonah Pezzett, he is currently at the Parramatta Eels.
Oh, so he just takes that one-year deal from him?
Well, he's taking a one-year deal before he goes to Brisbane Broncos. So same thing happened with Jonah where he was at the Melbourne Storm. He had already signed to the Brisbane Broncos for 2027. So the Parramatta Eels is like, oh, hey, we'll have you here for a year, knowing that you're going to leave. But does that also leave the option for 2027, Parramatta Eels, Jonah goes to Brisbane. Hey, let's bring in Jerome Luai. Yeah, he can start the culture within the Eels, hope lifting us, getting us up, going up the ladder and teaching a lot of the younger boys what it takes to be a four-time premiership winner.
Okay, hang on. Here's another one for you. Sammy Walker's off contract, I believe. Does he go to the Roosters for 1 year?
I don't think the Roosters will do it for 1 year.
No, wouldn't do it.
They think long term.
yeah, fair enough. That's why they're in the position.
They wouldn't. I don't think they would. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Jerome Luai. My thoughts: most likely he stays because a lot of it has to do with money and who pays what, and then who's willing to cover the rest, and knowing that he's only going to be there for 1 year. But who knows? Something may happen. We'll keep everyone up to date.
A lot of questions, not enough answers, but we'll see where he lands.
And you're listening to Nijin Footy with Tinido Aruna and my co-e, Sammy Wykes. Sam Wykes, there's a big milestone happening for a very big man this
weekend.
Back-to-back
weeks of Tongans reaching 300 games, my friend. How good is this one?
Yes, so last week we had Jason Tomalolo play his 300th game in the NRL. Now this weekend we will have Daniel Dubol for the Sydney Roosters playing his 300th game. He has scored 191 tries for the Roosters, making him the top try scorer for the club. He made his debut in 2012 for the Sydney Roosters and played 21 games for Tonga, 10 games for the New South Wales Blues, and also one game for Australia. But this weekend, versus the Parramatta Eels, he'll be playing his 300th game. And on Saturday evening, it is also
Old Boys Day.
Old Boys Day. Yes, I'll be going down supporting.
So you get to put on the Old Boys hat?
The Old Boys hat?
Yeah.
Oh, there's these shirts, 300 game shirts for Daniel Tupou. I'm going to try and get one of them.
Try and get that. How many games did you play?
The Roosters, 32 maybe.
32? Yeah. Okay. I thought it was less than that for some reason because you were in Wakey for so long.
No,
32. Unreal. Well, man, honestly, he is one of the unsung heroes for the Roosters. It's crazy to think that the Parramatta Eels didn't see a future in Nella Tupou.
Mm.
How funny is that, eh?
Straight out of the 20s, I believe.
Yeah.
And then Roosters picked him up. He comes over, wins a premiership for Newtown Jets, and then makes his debut the next year, and then, just goes on this huge career, winning 3 premierships with the club as well. Look, he'll go down as one of Sydney Roosters' legend, but on a side note, he is such a great human being.
He is a very humble man.
You won't find a nicer bloke than Daniel Tupou.
Yeah, team, we still have some other games to get through. Which one is standing out for you?
Yeah, round 19. Look, this is getting towards the business end. And when you look at the NRL ladder, it is very tight. And I reckon if you're sitting around 18 points, you'd want to start winning these next few games to stay in the hunt of the top 8. So top 8 is currently the South Sydney Rabbitohs at 22 points. The Cowboys are on equal points at 9th, but they're on 9th for 4 and against. So 22 points currently is the minimum points that you need to have to be in the top 8. That will obviously grow as these games can continue on. But I reckon if you're in that 16-18 point margin. So we've got the Eels, Raiders on 16 points. We've got the Tigers and the Storm on 18 points. They would want to win a couple games in their next few games. So I think tonight's game will be an important one for the West Tigers playing in Campbelltown, Sydney. They are playing the New Zealand Warriors, and I think it's a huge one for both teams, to be honest, because the Warriors are also sitting currently second on the ladder at 26 points. 26 points at second. 22 points is the 8th place. So you don't want to be losing games.
I was looking at that table. I just can't believe that when you talk about, if you're on 16 points, you better start moving. The Broncos are 16th. And like they're on 14 points, and then you got the Eels. Like when you're talking about the Eels on in 14th position, like how are they still a chance of getting in? Like it's unbelievable how tight this competition. You've said it heaps of times, but for the Tigers, this is a must win. Like if they don't win this game, do you rule them out? Or if they win this game, are they still like a genuine?
It just makes it harder. If they do lose this one, it just makes it harder and the pressure's on for the next game. And then if they lose that one, the pressure's on for the... So mathematically, they still have a couple chances, but it will get harder and harder. The pressure gets more and more if you don't win these games. Now, it's a big game to come up against the second place in form New Zealand Warriors. Now, what the Tigers do have is their skipper, Jerome Luai, coming back after missing the loss to the Dragons last game they played. But they also lose Arpi Coruscell due to a pectoral injury. So, man, it's I think the weight's on. They do have a good pack in Terrell May and Bunty Afoa, the former Warrior, big Bunty, backfence Bunty, starting in this match. Alex Twal is always dangerous in that middle, but the Fainu brothers, they will start in the back row, Samuela Fainu and Sione Fainu. So I think if they are to win, the Tigers are going to have to do a big job, because when you look on the other side of the fence for the Warriors, you've got James Fisher-Harris, you've got the young gun Lekahalasima, Aaron Clark, 2025 Lock of the Year. So they'll have to get a job done. Then you go to their backs. Jareem Buller will be starting at fullback for the Tigers. You got young Hemasi Makasini in the centre position with Stafford Toa. And then on the wings, you've got Sunia Taruva and Jarrell Skelton. Damn, that's like the Pacific All-Star team.
Yeah, I know. You know, when you're saying those names, there's so much talent within that Tigers team. I know that they would have prepared like very well. And since the announcement of Jerome going to PNG, it just seems like they've faded away like after that announcement. And I'm not going to say it's directly related to that.
Yeah.
But it just seems that like the start that they had, and we're talking about them being in the top four, you know, after say round, I don't know what it was, you know, the early rounds. But why do you think they've dropped off again though? Like with all of that strike power,
I think they got hurt with injuries.
Injuries,
yeah. So
was the big one.
With injuries come inconsistent combinations.
Yeah. So cohesion.
Yeah, cohesion, and yeah, I think they really hurt this team, because when you look at this team, other than RP Coruscant, they're a pretty young side as well. So you know, with young Jareem Buller and Jerome Law is probably getting towards that prime age now, but Jareem Buller,
Hemasi just finished school last year.
Hemasi, yeah, just there you go. even the Fainu brothers, they're all pretty young. So yeah, I think it comes with experience. They got out the blocks really hard, but how do you hold and maintain that form throughout the year and then rely on your depth to be able to come in and just slot straight into that system? Now, if you've got players that have to come in and play like Jerome Luai and play like RP Coruscant, it's pretty difficult.
Yep.
Whereas if you look at Penrith Panthers, Nathan Cleary, unreal player. But they're very structured and they're very system players where they can play to a system. And if a player was to replace Dylan Edwards, if a player was to play,
they know exactly their role,
Mitch
to play
Kenny
for the team.
Yeah, but they might not play as good as those players,
yep,
but they'll understand their role. Whereas RP and Jerome, you don't really know what you're going to get from them because they are that type of player.
So everyone's reactionary off what they do and they play, you know, according to how
they
play.
Whereas,
you're right, when one bit of that puzzle comes out of the Panthers, you know, system, one person just fits almost, not exactly, but almost in that same slot and just can do a job.
And what that does for other teams, thinking about the Panthers, is that, you know, they know teams can have some kind of idea on what shape's coming at them, but because they do it so well, it's the difficult part is trying to stop it. Now, with the Tigers, yes, they'll have structures, but when they've got players like Jerome, players like Terrell May, who likes to offload, players like RP Coruscant, who can come out of the dummy half, look one side and then throw the ball the other side, it's hard to defend.
Yeah, okay.
So, and also hard to replace. So a big job for the Tigers, but then you look at the Warriors' back line. You know, Tane Tuapiki, I think he's been playing some unreal footy at fullback for the Warriors. That good that Chance Nickel-Klokstad is now playing on the wing, and Chance is finishing some unbelievable try scoring in that on that left edge there. And then on the other side, you've got Alofiana Kant Pereira on the wing. Big job. I think the halves will be the key to this one. Jerome Luai and Adam Dewey for the Tigers, creating opportunities. But then on the other side, you've got Chanel Harris, Tavita, and Tomato Martin locking in at half for the Warriors.
Who takes this one?
I'm going to say that the Tigers will dig deep and they'll get the job done.
Oh, you're going Tigers.
I'm going the Tigers.
Will that be your Smokey?
It should be my Smokey.
It should be, but I thought 100% you were going to go the Warriors there, but it's okay. The Jerome Luai.
I don't know. I think I just talked myself into Tigers after reading through their game plan and the players. So.
How they can play off the cuff and the talent that they have, their ability. So that's an interesting one to watch. And then have you got one more for me?
You know, I've actually got another big game.
Who are you looking at?
Dolphins versus the Sharkies. Top eight battle, fifth versus sixth. Both on equal points, 24 points. And the for and against, Dolphins just edging them. But what I want to see from this game is that the Sharkies can be inconsistent. Like, they can beat the best teams, but then they can lose to some of the worst teams in the competition. So I just want to see if this game, they can get the job done over an in-form Dolphins team.
You're right about the Sharkies. Like, historically, they have been in the top eight, but they've struggled to beat top eight teams. So if they are a genuine chance to move up the ladder even higher, this will be a massive game for them. And I am thinking, without Isaiah Katoa, I still think the Dolphins get it done. What about you? Are you going to go the Sharkies or are you going to the Dolphins?
I'm going to go the Sharks. I like the Sharks on the road. Sharkies, I don't know why, but something maybe when they travel. Did you ever like traveling when you were a player?
We had a better away record than home record.
Yeah.
It's like you can bunker down as a team. Like, I think sometimes when you, especially with rugby league teams, because you're based in Sydney, you come from your home. So, like, mm-hmm. you come from everywhere. But when you're on tour, you're all there together in the hotel. Everything's done for you, like breakfast, your lunch, your bed gets made, and it just feels like you can sleep in without any distractions. That's why I love to play in away.
So it's like a little mini holiday for you.
Yeah, sort of.
I loved connecting with the boys, and I feel like with the Sharks team, they enjoy going on the road, connecting with the crew, and then going out and performing and playing for one another. So big game for the Sharks because yeah, Herbie Farnworth and them boys are a dangerous threat, but if they can get the job done, they'll creep up further up the ladder and just sneak away from that battle of missing that top eight. So look out for those two games in round 19 in the NRL. You can catch every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. Before we get to Rugby Union, we do have NRLW. Now, usually every Friday on Nijan Footy, we have Sala Tonga Tuki, our West Tigers representative, superstar. She's played for Fetu Samoa. She's played for the Jillaroo. She's done it all. But after her first win in round one, she's now too good for us.
She loses round one, doesn't want to talk to us because she's angry. Now she wins round one and she's too good for us. We can't win with Sulla, but I am very happy for her and the West Tigers.
But yes, we do have round two. It kicked off last night. The Cronulla Sharks played the Brisbane Broncos, the reigning premiers. And I thought this was going to be a blowout from the Broncos, but I thought the Sharks...
But you always say it's hard to play at Shark Park.
It is hard. The ball was slippery as well. Very slippery.
Night footy there. So, it was a lot closer than I thought as well. It went right down to the wire. Tamika Upton, the fullback for the Brisbane Broncos, she's a freak.
She is very, very good.
So good on her feet, so light. And I saw when Tiana shot out of the line to try and get her.
Yeah, her second. So Tamika's second try.
Yeah.
They do a bit of a shift, gets the ball into her hands, and then Tiana's come flying in from the outside to try and shut it down.
It was a good read, but it's one of those all or nothing reads in defense where you have to make it.
You have to shut it down.
But she didn't quite stick in there. Tamika scored that try.
And then last year, when they played Cronulla Sharks, she also scored a hat-trick and then followed it up last night with another hat-trick. But great win from the Broncos. I did think that the Sharks held deep. They did have they were very competitive and probably a lot better signs this week than compared to their round one performance. But Shante Kiriaratu, she also scored a try that got them in the lead at one point.
I saw her post-try as well when she slammed the ball down. Do you reckon it was intentional where she wanted to almost land on one of the Broncos players? Did you see that?
Well, when she just threw the ball down and there was two guys, two girls on the ground.
Players on the ground.
But yeah, maybe. But no, great win from the Broncos. Well, Sammy, we do have round two in NRLW kicking off still over the weekend. Now, I know why Sala Tonga Tuki can't join us today is because her and the West Tigers are traveling up to Townsville to play the Cowboys tomorrow. So wish her all the best, and we will catch up with her next Friday. But the Bulldogs will be taking on the Gold Coast Titans and the Roosters versus Knights tomorrow. And then on Sunday, we have two games where the Raiders will be taking on the Warriors and the Dragons will be playing the Eels. I do like the Warriors. I reckon they are
They're looking the goods.
They're the smokies. They've got a fair few injuries, But I reckon come business end of the competition, they'll be ready to go. So big game that Sunday where the Warriors will be taking the Raiders in Canberra. And sweet, we'll catch up with Shelley Long to review all the NRLW games over this weekend. Staying on the NRLW, I want to give a big shout out to a guest that we've had on our show, Nijin Footy, where we'd interviewed her. She is playing for the Gold Coast Titans and making her NRLW debut this weekend. Her name is Fanua Ramoni, and we wish her all the best from everyone here at Nijin Footy. And if you want to hear that interview, just search Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcasts. That's me for Rugby League, Sammy. Let's shift over to Rugby Union. But before we go, Sammy, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora, I'm Ashley Masters and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Yes, T, rugby kicks off this week again, round two of the Nations Championships and the Nations Cup. And I want to start with Fiji versus England, Sunday morning, 1 a.m. Fiji time. I feel like this game for Fiji is going to be a massive one. I think there's going to be a bigger crowd there. It'll be played in Liverpool. But I also want to touch on, I saw some people around the Fijian, board members, I think it is, you know, just talking about how they have invested a fair bit more money in the Fijian side and they were looking for better results. They were looking for better performances from the players because they've now been given extra incentive to perform well. You know, when I heard those comments, it didn't really sit that well with me. Because of the fact that, well, all of a sudden now, just because the players are probably just getting paid what they're entitled to, that all of a sudden they lose to Wales in the first game that they didn't play well. I was a little bit off those comments, actually, because I thought Fiji were unbelievable in that game. It's just, like I said on Monday, it was only a couple of errors here and there, a little bit of discipline issues. But the style of footy that they played, the tries that they scored, like they went out there ready to give it a red-hot crack and really test the style of Wales' defensive systems and found plenty of cracks in their defensive line to be able to score some good tries.
Do you think those comments were made because of the way that they played their game, the style, and they're looking for a different style, the style that you're probably not recommending?
Oh, it felt like it's just because they didn't win.
They just wanted the result.
They just wanted the result to win. Because everyone knows the style of footy Fijians play. And, you know, if it's coming out of Fiji, that's what they get excited over when they watch their team play, when they watch the Drua play. So,
yeah, Fijians don't want to watch the Flying Fijians or the Drua play like the South Africans.
Yeah, exactly. They want to watch them play their style with that flair, and we've seen that. So I thought, okay, it's a bit harsh early on. You know, I thought it was a little bit harsh because they are still up against the bigger nations with all the resources.
And it's away. It's meant to be their home game. It's supposed to,
yeah, absolutely it is. But anyway, I just thought, you know, I just wanted to touch on Fiji, you keep doing your thing, boys. You just keep killing it out there because yes, I've got no doubt the English side, they're coming off a fair few losses at the moment. They'll be genuinely worried about Fiji's attack and they'll be looking for ways to definitely go into this game to be able to grind out a win against Fiji.
Liverpool too.
Yeah, Liverpool. Semi Radradra is out. And Ravovo comes in that 13 position, so they don't really lose too much there. Even though Semi's a superstar player, Ravovo is made for that 13 position, so I think he's going to do a really good job there. Now we'll move over to the Nations Cup. Now we've got Tonga playing against Spain Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Tongan time. Siegfried Fisihoi, he will start at loose head as the only change in the starting four pack from last week, but there'll be a reshuffle in the backs. Solomon Okata will come in at 12. Finian Nisi will go to 13. And John Tapuelo-Elo will move to the wing. And Sione Tui will potentially debut off the bench in the backs. And their starting lock, Veikkausi Poloniatti, he's just signed with the Waratahs for Super Rugby next year. So this will be a test for Tonga.
To play Spain?
To Spain. I don't know what it is about the...
Can they play footy or rugby?
They can. What do I say? They like to move the ball around. They like to I wouldn't say play like Fiji, but they chance have they like to chance their arm a bit more. And the speed of their ruck is really quick. And I've really enjoyed the way the Spanish have played sevens at the moment. Like, they've been up there. So the South American teams, I don't know what they're doing in South America when it comes to development pathways and getting players to play rugby, because we're just probably so used to them seeing play football, soccer as we call it, but they are actually going pretty well.
I know we're here speaking about our Pacific nations, but when you speak about pathways and, you know, those European teams, when you look at Spain, how long has it taken them to get to this level?
I feel like they've just snuck up on us. Yeah. Like, because honestly, like
5 years ago?
Yeah, I reckon it's been like 5-6 years where they've really jumped on the seven circuit. And then I was like, hey, but how did these guys, like, you know, beat Australia or beat South Africa on the seven circuit? And then they've had some close matches against some of our Pacific Island nations. So to see them do well and moving up the ranks, it's only good for the game. So I absolutely love that. Because you look at Argentina out of the South American teams, like, they've improved out of sight.
Well, were they never that great?
No. Okay. They had some good players, but, like, to say that they've beaten the All Blacks, like, that would have been unheard of, you know, 20 years ago.
Yep.
But now you've got, yeah, teams like Argentina, Spain, doing some pretty good things in the rugby union space. So for Tonga, this isn't going to be a walkover by any means. I think this is going to be a tough game.
Now, I'm looking at the fixtures here for the Nations Cup. It looks like I'm looking at the World Cup soccer. Okay, you've got Portugal, you've got Canada, Spain, Uruguay.
That's what I mean. The South American teams, I don't know where they've come from when it comes to playing rugby. I don't know how or who got them into the sport. But you're right, man. It is truly the global game. We just need to get it kicking here in Australia, but it's very hard when rugby league's just got a $5.3 billion 7-year TV rights deal, and they've just signed a $250 million Pacific partnership deal. So,
and those are just a couple streams of revenue as well.
Exactly. Nah. It doesn't stop. But we'll move over to Samoa, Georgia. This one is going to be a big one for Samoa. With this one, we've got a few changes in the lineup. It's awesome to see Inari start at 9. He's very experienced. He was a big part of the Hurricanes' success in Super Rugby. Richie Asiata, he'll make his debut off the bench at hooker. He was actually a genuine smoky last year for the Wallabies. I thought he played some really good footy for the Reds, played an awesome game for the First Nations Pacifica team against the Lions last year. So he will make his debut for Samoa. And we've also got Rodney Iona. Remember Rodney? We had him on the show.
Big Rodney.
Small Rodney.
Small Rodney.
In that context. He was on the show. We interviewed him not that long ago. And he'll make his first test appearance this week off the bench for Samoa. So this will be a big one. Georgia, they are very big, very physical, and they're going to go straight through the middle of the forward pack if the big Samoans don't step up to the plate and show their physicality back at them. And for Samoa, if they can get on a run like they did last week and in their game against Chile, I reckon they'll get the job done. But this is going to be a tough one for them. And then finally, with the Nations Cup, we'll move to the Wallabies versus France and then All Blacks versus Italy. I know we spoke about a little bit about the All Blacks on Monday, but just watching them again, I watched their game again. They love to move the ball. It feels like the All Blacks of old, playing from anywhere, moving to space, wherever the ball, whoever's at the back of the ruck, they're just taking it and moving quick. I just feel like under Dave Rennie, they're going to be a different beast come World Cup time. So I think they've got a full 12 or over 12 months now to be able to get things right. They're going to be tough to beat. And the Wallabies against France. France haven't had a good run in Brisbane before, but Rob Valentini, if he has a day, he's the bloke that they need to go to be able to get the forward pack on the front foot, as well as Len Ikitau in the centres with Joseph Suaalii. I thought Suaalii had one of his better games last week. So I think for the Wallabies, it's going to be tough against France coming off that loss. if they are going to get it done, those three players really have to stand up. And just to wrap up rugby union, I do need to apologise actually, because I think on Monday I said the Fijian Drua are playing their semi-final against the Reds.
How many shows have you?
This weekend, but it's next weekend.
In the Super W semi-final.
I think I've said it on three different shows that all it was this weekend.
And you've just realised today.
Just realised today when I saw the date. I was like, hang on. That's not till next week. The 17th of July is not this week, so... Anyway, I'll save my preview for that semi-final for next week with Shelley Long and then for next Friday. So, apologies to all of our listeners out there. I'll get my dates right very soon.
Let's get straight into our lock and smoke.
Lock and smoke. Let's get to it.
Smoke. You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke.
Yes, this is our competition, our tipping competition, where we call it Lock and Smoke because
I'm getting smoked. That's it. 20 points to 14, T.
So me and Sam will pick a lock-in, which is a team that is most likely going to win over the weekend. Could be from league, could be from union, could be from NRW, NRL. Yep. So we'll pick a lock, and then our smoky is your roughie, your unfavourite team to win on the weekend. And what's the score, Sammy?
It is 20 points to 14 and 20 in your favour.
And then the winner receives
Otutaki. Otutaki, sorry.
Is it just another feed?
Yeah, another feed, man.
All right, sweet ass. Who you got in for your lock-in? Who are you putting in?
My lock for this week, it's very hard to go past the All Blacks. That's my lock over Italy.
The All Blacks over Italy?
Yeah, that's a lock. Sure thing lock.
All right, I'm going to go an NRLW team for my lock-in this weekend. I would have got them Broncos last night, knowing that they are just dangerous. Who did I have last week? Did I go NRLW? I don't think so.
No, I don't know. I can't remember.
So, this week, we are going with the... No, we're not going NRW. We're going. I just had a look.
Bro,
we're not doing that.
How many point lead? Like a 6 point lead or something?
Well, I'll keep it at 8 point lead after this weekend. I'm going with the game that I will be attending, the Sydney Roosters, to beat the Parramatta Eels for the great man Daniel DePaul's milestone game 300. Lock it in, Sydney Roosters.
Lock, that one's locked in. I think. Yep, that's you're going to move to 21 points because I reckon that is definitely a lock-in, and now a smoky. A smoky. Okay.
Do a genuine smoky this time.
Yeah, I need a genuine.
Genuine.
He's a singer, isn't he?
I need a genuine.
All right, great what do you got? R&B singer. A genuine smoky. Who can be a close one here that can...
Why don't we go head-to-head on this one?
Yeah, which one?
Tigers versus Cowboys NRLW. I'll let you
Cowboys
choose.
Cowboys got pumped by 50 last week.
I'll let you choose. Or we can go, actually, you know what we'll do?
That's a tough one.
All right, let's go Dragons and Eels because we have got a special guest joining us on Monday's show, Nijin Footy, that will be playing in either of these teams. So we'll keep that one a secret. But we go head-to-head Eels and Dragons, and okay. I'll let you pick the team.
Okay. Is Nita Manai still at Dragons?
Nita is still at Dragons, yes.
Because of her? Because she's a champion of a person? I want to go to the Dragons.
Nice. I don't think Nita's playing, but
Do you always do this to me? Why do you always...
Sweet. I'm happy with the Eels because Elsie Albert, a beast, and I just reckon that the guest that we have on our show on Monday...
I thought it was supposed to be a secret. Now you're saying
I never said anything yet. Well, like that, I went with the Eels. And no, it's not Elsie Albert. Actually, it might be Elsie Albert. You'll have to see on Monday show. But
okay, I can't believe you've done me over there with Nita.
You go Eels. I'll go the Dragons. And
wrap us up, bro.
You will wrap us up for this show because I can't find my notes. Nah. No, there you go.
Come on, brother. Here we go. You should know this off by heart by now.
Well, that's us done for Nijin Footy Fridays. Ka kite. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcast.
So, Doc, see you Monday.
Up the Blues to all our Queenslanders.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.